This is Audible.
Santor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Finding My Forever by Heidi McLaughlin, narrated by Adam Rivington and Melissa Moran. Chapter 1. Jimmy. Jimmy Davis is a womanizer. Hashtag stay away. Hung out with JD tonight. Hashtag epic fail. I hate Jimmy J.D. Davis. Hashtag life lesson. 4225 West's J.D. is so freaking hot. Hashtag in love. Call me Jimmy. Hashtag can't wait for next time. I hate Twitter. It's the worst thing ever invented. It's an avenue for women to slag me off every chance they get. And believe me, they're relentless. I can't quite figure out why they like to wear their dirty laundry all over the internet. Don't they realize that millions of people see what they tweet and judge them on those 140 characters? Probably not, is my guess. They're just adding fuel to the fire for the next girl who wants a bit of Jimmy J.D. Davis so she can brag to her friends. Right now, there's only one girl I want a taste of, but she's not here, nor is she tweeting about our night together. I should take that as a sign that she's not interested, but I don't. It makes me want to have my wicked way with her again, show her exactly what I'm all about. If I didn't leave her begging for more, then my game wasn't up to par. I sigh heavily and turn away from the door back to the bar. The girl serving my drink winks at me, obviously thinking I'm interested because I'm looking in her direction. Sadly for her, she couldn't be further from the truth. I don't piss where I eat. The reason I've sworn off relationships has just walked into the bar. I can ignore her, but she won't ignore me. She likes to tease me, tempt me. She plays her game to remind me that she left me when I thought things were perfect. I put my phone away and study my beer bottle. It's fascinating that the dark brown glass holding the amber liquid numbs my problems. I pick at the label in a failed attempt to look busy. I'm the prey right now, being hunted by the feminine wiles of two women. One, I'd taken a heartbeat just to show her what she's been missing. With the other one, I'd have to be really drunk. I like this bar, a lot. I don't want to make the mistake of shitting on my own doorstep. Hello, Jimmy. I close my eyes at the sound of her voice. She finds me every year on this date without fail. I know it well. It's our anniversary. So many things happened on this day. I thought I was smooth, always doing something special on the date we started going out. For the first year, I proposed. I slipped a 3-carat diamond on her ring finger. The second year, after I signed my contract with 4225 West and we became famous, I bought her a house. On the third year, I caught her in our bed with another man. Well, actually, it was two men, but the shock and the hurt wasn't any different. She destroyed me. Coincidentally, each event happened on the same day, our anniversary. Each year, for 3 years, she gave me a memory I'll never forget, no matter how hard I try. God, I love that day. Chelsea Spencer sits down next to me. Her name alone screams money. I give her the once-over, starting at her shoes, which are no doubt by some new designer I've never heard of, and work my way up her long-toned legs. I have every inch of them memorized, even when I've repeatedly tried to forget what they feel like wrapped around me. She's wearing a black and white dress, and her hair is styled to perfection. She's a real-life Barbie doll. Everything about her is refined. That should have been my first warning sign when we started seeing each other. Her parents hated me, but she wanted to show them she could make her own decisions, and started dating the wannabe rock star. Even with my famous father and grandfather, I wasn't good enough for her. Well, if it isn't my beautiful ex. Tell me, sweetheart, to what do I owe the pleasure? I'm guessing it's no coincidence that you're here on our anniversary. Time flies when I'm not thinking about how you tore my heart out and trampled on it repeatedly.
Dramatic much, Jimmy?
I shrug. Just keeping it real, love.
Chelsea never shows emotion, at least not any more.
When we were together, I made her laugh every day. Her mum told her that laughing would cause wrinkles, and I told her I'd kiss each one away. Now she's some straight-laced piece of totty who only smiles when she's paid a compliment. It's a pity, really, because she's so beautiful when she laughs.
She orders a white wine spritzer. I try not to laugh at how stuck up she's become since we broke up. When we were together, she was a beer drinker. It's funny how things change people.
How's your business doing?
What business would that be, Jimmy?
I knock back my beer and slam the bottle down hard on the bar. I signal for another and gain a wink in return. Too bad she's barking up the wrong tree.
The escort service.
I try to stifle my laugh, but to no avail. Chelsea slaps me across my arm. It stings, but I don't show it. I can't let her know that she still affects me in any way.
You're such an imbecile, you know that?
Yet here you sit next to me trying to catch my attention with your legs. Is this your way of showing me what's on offer? Because I have news for you, Chelsea. I ain't buying it. So what do you want?
Chelsea turns in the stool and faces the bar.
I saw that the band filed a restraining order against Moreno Entertainment.
Yeah, we did. We've been having some issues with Sam. Do you remember her?
I do. She was an evil little thing, wasn't she?
Still is, I answer before taking a swig of my beer.
Was,
Chelsea states.
What do you mean, was?
She takes out a newspaper clipping and puts it down in front of me. My eyes widen as I read the article.
Samantha Moreno was found dead in her apartment after an apparent drug overdose. She is the daughter of...
I reread the first line multiple times so that I can recite it word for word. I need to tell Liam.
When did this happen?
Right after Christmas, Chelsea says.
The wedding was after Christmas. It makes me wonder whether this was a reaction to Liam getting hitched.
Look, Jimmy, that's not why I'm here. Obviously, I had this in my purse for a bit, waiting to find you.
I cock my head and glare at her. She always has an ulterior motive.
What do you want?
I miss you, Jimmy. I was thinking we should try again.
Pardon me? I think I misheard you.
I'm pretty sure you said you wanted us to start over, but I know that can't be the case, since Mummy Dearest would have a fit and Daddy would cut you off. Surely you prefer spending your dosh more than you like having me hanging around.
That's not true, Jimmy. I made a mistake.
And she's making one now. I flinch when she touches me, but that doesn't register with her. She keeps her hand on my shoulder, her perfectly manicured nails tracing circles on my shirt.
A mistake? Is that what you call shagging two blokes in my bed?
I finish my beer and signal for my tab. Listen, Chels, I need to get going. You can call me or whatever, but I'm not sure how the whole dating thing will work out. I kiss her on the cheek as I get up, throwing some cash on the table for my bill. Thing is, if she's serious, I'd probably let my heart take a kicking and take her back. As the girl behind the bar takes my tab, I have second thoughts about not pissing where I eat. I'm frustrated, and I have needs, and right now I need to get Chelsea out of my brain. I signal to the girl with the fuck-me eyes, and she knows exactly what I want. Chelsea's mouth drops open. She knows what I'm about to do. And right now, I don't give a flying fuck. I shoulder my guitar while I wait for my suitcases to show up on the baggage reclaim. Thoughts of leaving Chelsea at the bar play over and over in my mind. Most would call me an idiot for leaving her behind last night, when she's pretty much an easy shag for me, but the heartache that comes from loving her is too much to bear, even if it's for one night or two. Her incessant text messages clogged up my phone as soon as I disappeared with the bar girl. She even had the nerve to ask me what I was doing. I have no doubts that she listened outside the bathroom door. The bar girl was definitely the safer option last night, for sure. Chelsea's parents don't approve of me, and she always listens to them. They have the money that lets her live a lavish lifestyle, and while I know I could make sure she's well looked after, it would never be what she's used to. I haven't called Liam or Harrison to let them know I'd be back a week early. Liam is still in his honeymoon period, and Harrison is shacking up with his honey, playing house and all that crap. They don't need to open their doors to me when they're busy like this. I stand patiently at the car hire desk. I didn't make a reservation because, to be honest, I didn't think I needed one in such a small town. Yet here I am, tapping my fingers lightly on the desk, while the clerk bites her lower lip and flips her hair every so often while staring at a computer screen. Subtlety is obviously not her forte. I have no doubt that on the screen is her frigging Twitter profile, and she's tweeting something about me. Maybe I should search for my name while I stand here and tweet her back. I look at my watch and exhale loudly. By the time she gets around to finding me a car, I could be knocking on Liam's door and sitting down for breakfast. Sweetheart, would it be easier if I found a different car hire place to provide my transport while I'm in Beaumont?
Oh, no, Mr. Davis. I was just communicating with our fleet manager. I'm printing the paperwork now.
And just like that, the printer starts spitting out my hire contract. Amazing how that happens. She puts the contract down on the desk and shows me where to sign my name. When she hands me my copies, her business card is attached at the top.
Call me if you have any problems. I've even included my cell number in the event that we're closed.
Aren't you open 24 hours? The look on her face is priceless. I've never seen someone blush so quickly before. Okay, that's a lie. There's that girl that I'm itching to see again. I had her blushing in a matter of seconds, which I think was a record even for me. Usually I have to sweet-talk and romance them first, but not her. I look around for a hidden camera. This is a moment I want to document. I wink at her as I pick up my keys. Her face turns even redder. She tries to smile, but it looks more like a frown. I hope she doesn't do anything stupid now that her attempt at being sexy has failed miserably. I find my car easily enough in their enormous fleet of 15 vehicles. I don't know why people, women in particular, just don't come out and say what's on their minds. Hell, maybe she could have paid me a compliment. That would have made my day. But no, they and are around the topic, and the only thing they succeed in is wasting my time. When I pull up at Liam's, I'm happy to see Harrison is here. Now that I'm here, it will give us more time to finalize what will be on the CD before Tyler arrives to start on the production. As much as I wish we were in LA doing this crap, I like coming out to Beaumont to escape reality. There are no paparazzi to bug us. I can chill out with family without people hiding in the bushes or analyzing everything I'm buying at the supermarket. Liam was right when he moved back. The way of life here is total serenity. The only thing missing is the eye candy. I need them. They entertain me and remind me that I'm nothing better than what my father said I would be. I won't be stupid, though. I won't get any of my girls up the duff, and I'll definitely never get married. Kids and marriage complicate things. My dad was married to my mum for a long time, but had so many flings on the side that he lost track. Same with my grandfather. I guess it's in the Davis's blood not to be tied down. I walk down the stairs to the studio. Both of them turn and look at me. Their stupid big grins tell me that they're up to no good. Good thing I'm here to burst their happy little bubble. Sam's offed herself. Liam and Harrison freeze like statues, and their mouths fall open.
"What did you say?" Liam asks.
Chelsea came by looking for a shag and showed me a newspaper article reporting that Sam died of an apparent drug overdose just after Christmas.
"She's dead?" Liam asks again.
I nod and watch for another reaction from him. I'm not going to lie, Sam being gone gives us more opportunities. We've been thinking for a while now that she's been influencing venues and blocking them from working with us, and we know for a fact that she sabotaged our tour. I never want to wish bad luck onto people, but Sam not being in the picture anymore is a blessing in disguise.
That's sort of messed up, Harrison says.
He's right. It is.
I never wanted her to die. I just wanted to be free.
We're free, Liam says.
Harrison and I nod.
We're free.
Chapter 2. Jenna. I've managed to survive a vicious 3-year marriage to the most vile man I've ever known. For years, he tried to get me pregnant, and each time, I did what I had to do to prevent it. I feared the day that he would find out about my methods, but it was a risk I was willing to take. There was no way I could bring an innocent child into the world with him as the father. Yet here I sit, surrounded by dozens of pregnancy tests, all telling me what I already know. The swollen breasts, tight-fitting clothes, and protruding stomach are signs I've been trying to ignore. But I can't anymore. I'm about to be a mother. One slightly drunken moment, and I'm pregnant. And all I can think is, thank God. This child doesn't belong to my ex-husband. You never know someone well enough. I thought I knew Damien Mahoney. I loved him and thought he loved me, but I was sadly mistaken. Our courtship lasted 2 years until we were married in a fairy tale ceremony. My Cinderella wedding dress still hangs in my parents' closet. I never wanted to part with it, even after I left him. My tiara sits atop my childhood dresser, collecting dust, no doubt. Our marriage was anything but a fairy tale. I didn't get my happily ever after. I got abused, physically and mentally. No one ever prepares you for the abuse, whether it's by the hands of the man your father gave you to in front of all your family and friends, or by the hateful and hurtful words that come out of the mouth from the one who vowed to love you, who stood up in front of everyone and said he'd always protect you. When the first slap comes, when you feel the sting resonate across your cheek, you forget those vows. You forget that the man standing in front of you is your husband, and you ask yourself why. The first hit came one night after we had been out with some friends. We started fooling around when we got home, and I accidentally hit him between the legs. It was a knee-jerk reaction to something he did. I jumped up and caught him. I apologized and kept trying to touch him, only to have him bat my hands away each time. That should have been my sign to leave him alone, but I kept at it, trying to comfort him. His hand came across my face so fast, I didn't have time to register what was happening until I was holding my cheek and tears were flowing down my face. He held me tight, promised me it would never happen again. I believed him. Until he lied. After each incident, he would beg me to forgive him. He'd tend to my cuts and bruises. He'd berate and belittle himself. He promised me it was the last time. Until it wasn't. I learned how to hide my bruises from my friends and family. I became a klutz every time I'd break my arm or collarbone. I pretended I loved him. Until I couldn't. I stayed because I had taken my vows seriously. I stayed because he sought help, and for a while it worked. Until it didn't. Some would think that leaving was the hard part. But that's not the case. The hardest part was calling my dad to tell him that I needed help. I had to wait until Damien went on a business trip. When I knew he was gone, I finally found the courage to call my dad and tell him everything. He came that night, packed my belongings, and took me home. My dad never said anything. He moved fluidly through my house while I stood there with tears streaming down my face. The car ride to my parents was the longest ride ever. He didn't speak until we pulled into the driveway. He sat there, staring straight ahead with his hands holding onto the steering wheel. He said,
"Jenna, you're my daughter, and if I didn't raise my hand to you, then no man will."
The next night I left and ended up in Beaumont. I left my parents behind. I added my signature on divorce papers that my father prepared for me and promised to file. I left for a place where I had no ties and was far enough away from the main road that I could blend in and get to know everyone. I've been here for 4 years and love it.
It took me the first two until I could finally walk around without always looking over my shoulder. I know Damien will find me. He'll come for me. It's only a matter of time. And now, here I am, happy and sad that I'm pregnant. I don't know what I'll tell my parents. They'll want to meet the man responsible, and that's just not possible. He has a life away from me, and it was a one-time thing. It's not like I can call him up and ask if he remembers me and drop the bomb mid-conversation. Oh, by the way, I'm trying not to freak out. I know I can do this, but I'll need more hours at the store or I'll have to find a new job. I don't want to quit on Josie, though. I'll have to talk to her. I pick up all the applicators and throw them away, saving one. I'm not sure why, but it feels right. The clock shows just after 5. I need to get to Whimsicality for open mic night. This is a night where I'll make decent tips. Now that Josie can serve alcohol, nights like these have been a hit. People sign up weeks in advance just for the small hope that they'll be playing in front of someone from 4225 West. The guys are usually in the back and rarely make an appearance. Liam doesn't want to take away from what Josie is doing for these artists. I live on the same block on which the shop is located. Living on Main Street has its perks. I don't need to drive, and the only time I take out my beat-up Corolla is when I babysit the kids. Everything is within walking distance, too. The bank, grocery store, and doctor's office. I've waited almost 2 months. It's time that I make my appointment. I can't put it off any longer. I wrap my scarf around my neck as I step out into the cold, crisp air. I'm counting the days until spring. Not that it's overly cold in Beaumont, but I'm looking forward to some sun. I want to watch the flowers bloom as they line the street with every color imaginable. The trees in the park will turn nice and pink with the cherry blossoms. I want to sit on the bench and rest my hand on my swollen belly and feel my baby kick. I want to enjoy these things with a partner, but that's not possible. It would figure that when I finally have enough courage to be with someone, it's a one-night stand and there's no hope for us to get together. It's just my luck that I'm attracted to the one guy who doesn't really know I exist, except for in some hidden room away from everyone. I hate thinking that he doesn't know my name. I'm telling myself that he does. I'm writing my own story from that night, one filled with unadulterated passion and lust. A night where we watched each other from the other side of the room, and when we met in the hallway, alone, we knew. It was the first time I had felt safe with a man in a long time. Even though it was just sex, he held me. He kissed me like he was never going to see me again. At least that was true. He moved his hands over my body like he had been there 100 times before. I know I can make a happy story for my child. One that in which the night he was created was full of love and laughter. That he was loved from the moment I found out. I take a deep breath and enter the shop. I'm pleasantly surprised to find the guys here.
What's going on?
I ask no one in particular.
We're playing tonight. JD arrived early and we're bored. The kids will be down to help you bus tables and Ralph is coming in to help you bartend.
Liam kisses me on the cheek after he finishes rambling. Are you expecting a big crowd?
I tweeted about it and put the word on the street.
Jimmy answers as he walks by with a big box in his hand. He sets it down and starts plugging cords into the back.
You tweeted?
I question.
Twitter. Social networking, innit?
I know what Twitter is, Jimmy. Jimmy smiles devilishly. This guy is bad news through and through.
Stay off Twitter, sweet lips. It's full of celebrity wannabes and wanna-don't-bees.
He starts whistling some tune that I'm sure is one of their hits. I suppose if Jimmy tweeted, all his loyal harems will be out in droves tonight. That means shitty tips and rude women.
Yay! Fun times for Jenna!
I go out back, take off my coat and store it in my locker. I think it's funny that we have lockers, but Josie is all about safety. I admire her for that. We aren't allowed to leave the shop at night without someone walking us to our cars, and in my case, my apartment. She usually has Liam or Harrison do it, but if they're not around, she calls her friend and local police officer, Paul Baker, to come down. Josie walks in, followed by Noah. He looks bored and is probably wishing he were at home playing video games.
Jimmy tweeted, I say. I think that means we'll be busy.
Josie starts to laugh, covering her face instantly when she snorts.
Oh, God, how embarrassing. I can't believe I just did that.
I can,
Noah says with a roll of his eyes. You do it all the time. It annoys Dad, by the way.
Oh, hush you. Josie pushes him away slightly. Are you over the flu? I nod. I hate lying to her, but she'll have so many questions that I'm not ready to answer. Truth is, I'm not over it. Certain foods make my stomach turn, and I'm thankful none of those foods are served here. I walk out to the front and start making the coffee. We serve wine and beer mostly. For food, we have pastries and sandwiches. I busy myself setting up. As soon as the doors open, people file in. I ready myself for our first customer, except it's not a customer who steps up. I give him a half smile, the only thing I can muster. I don't want people to know, and for the life of me, can't understand why he's standing here looking at me. We aren't friends. It was one moment, a moment that I'll remember for a lifetime, and one that he can forget about.
Chapter 3. Jimmy. Sitting in Josie's cafe and people-watching is entertaining. At the table opposite me is a couple. The girl is dressed in jeans and a jumper, while her companion is wearing boat shoes and a tweed coat. It's laughable, really, the differences between the two. I can already tell you, without even knowing her, that if she had the opportunity, she'd go home with a band member. Not because of who we are, but because of what we represent. Danger. Excitement. Her friend, on the other hand, would rather be in front of a fire, smoking his cigar and watching some boring documentary on TV. My betting is that the only shagging style in his vocabulary is missionary. His bird, though, I can tell she likes it rough. I bet she likes to have her hair pulled and her arse spanked, maybe. Their relationship is in its early days. They're testing the water, and it's about to get rocky. I should offer the poor bloke a dinghy to save his slowly sinking ego. The cafe part of Josie's business is small, but has a homey feel. I like that I can come in here whenever I want and play an acoustic set or just sit in the corner and have a coffee. She always has fresh chocolate chip cookies too, and I really like those. Jenna walks past with a tray of drinks. She's usually wearing a skirt or dress, but tonight she's sporting a pair of black trousers that accentuate all of her curves. Her dark red hair is longer than normal. I remember she was wearing it up for Liam and Josie's wedding, because I couldn't stop staring at her neck. But I didn't stop at her neck. I took in every inch of her body. I've never been a parts man, but just looking at Jenna makes me want to be one, although I'd never be able to stop at just one place as far as she's concerned. I have trouble talking to her, and I don't know why. Our earlier conversation, albeit short, was stupid. I felt like a complete numpty when I was trying to explain what Twitter was. I think everyone, except maybe Aubrey, knows what it is. I've known Jenna for about a year, and don't know anything about her. Maybe if I spend more time in Beaumont, we can become friends, although I'm kidding myself, thinking someone like her would want to be friends with someone like me. She reminds me of Chelsea with all her little foibles. Jenna's always laughing when she's with Josie and Caitlin, and it hasn't escaped my notice that she's never with a man. I sit in the corner and watch her as she waits on the customers. She takes them their food and drinks, and does it all with a smile that lights up her face. I look around and watch the tables fill up with customers. A few of these people I've seen when I've performed here before. It's nice to recognize some friendly faces, and I've parted with them a couple of times, but all too soon they start taking liberties and telling people they know the band. No one knows the band unless they're family. A blonde girl waves her fingers at me, and I wink back, letting her think that she's caught my eye. I can't honestly say that she has, but she'll flutter her eyes at me all night, and I'll flirt back until I see something better come along. Or maybe I won't. Maybe she'll be my next conquest for a couple of hours, although I'd hate it if Josie lost a customer, because I definitely won't be calling this one the next day. Liam says I should change, but I take great pleasure in reminding him that he was, in fact, exactly the same way, as is my dad and granddad. It's in my blood to never settle down. My mum would like me to. She'd like me to find a nice girl who's going to love me and take care of me, one that will give her grandchildren. The thought makes me shudder.
No kids for me, not now, not ever. I saw what my father's cheating did to my mum, so no thank you very much. He learned his pathetic habit from his father, and I'm not willing to hurt anyone like that. The amount of tears my mum shed over my father is ridiculous. He didn't deserve them. I don't want a girl crying over me like that. Jenna carries her tray past me again, paying no attention to me. What if I need another drink? Shouldn't she wait on me? No, she knows better, and so do I. Liam made it clear that we're more than capable of helping ourselves around here. I look around once more and catch the blonde staring again. Maybe we should get better acquainted. I walk over to her and lean down to whisper, "Come outside with me." I don't wait for an answer and make my way out of the front door. I don't care if she follows me or not. She's one of many, as far as I'm concerned. I lean against the wall, take out a cigarette, and light it. As soon as I take a drag, the door opens and the blonde steps out. She looks left, then right, and smiles when she spots me. I want to roll my eyes at the way she's walking. She thinks she's a supermodel on a catwalk, the way she's strutting her stuff and pouting. If she's trying to impress me, it's not working. I only want her for one thing.
Hi, Jimmy.
Are you a fan?
Of yours I am.
Putty in my hands is what she is. I take another drag and exhale away from her. I'm a dickhead, but at least I have manners. I pull her closer and run my nose along the underside of her jaw, inhaling her perfume. It smells sweet and sugary, not feminine at all. It's a warning sign for me. It's always the young ones that smell like candy. I can't be too careful, and definitely can't afford any bad press. "How old are you?" I ask, pulling back.
"Tonight's my 21st birthday. We had plans until we saw your tweet. We drove an hour to get here."
Maybe I like Twitter after all. I pick up a few strands of her blonde ponytail and twist them around my finger. She steps closer and puts her hand on my chest. She's shy. Her hand shakes. She's expectant, even though I can tell she's never done something like this before.
"Do you want a birthday kiss?" I ask, fully aware of what her answer will be.
She nods, biting her lower lip. Her eyes go from mine to my lips and back again. I lean in, taking my time. I want to put her on the edge with just a little kiss, because that's the game I like to play with the fangirls.
"Jimmy?"
I turn my head sharply. The girl's head bounces on my shoulder. "Sorry, love," I say without looking at her, because I'm focused on a very pissed-off Jenna.
"What's up, sweet lips?"
"Liam is looking for you. I saw..." Never mind.
Jenna walks back into the cafe before I can say anything. I move away from the birthday girl, only for her to grab my hand. I freeze and look down at our joined hands. I bring hers to my lips and place a kiss there before letting go.
"Don't you want to know my name?"
I shake my head.
"Sorry, love, it ain't gonna work like that."
I leave her standing there with what I'm guessing is a hurt and annoyed look on her face. It's a face I've seen many times before, but I can't be asked to care. I stab out my cigarette and throw it in the bin before running up the stairs to enter the cafe. Jenna's behind the counter. She looks up as if she heard me walk in, but I know that's not possible because of the old guy sitting in the corner playing his banjo. I walk past her and head into the back. I stop before I'm out of sight and turn. She's watching me, but looks back at her customer. I don't know what I can say to her without sounding like a total knob.
"Jenna said you were looking for me?"
"Yeah, we're about to go on."
"Okay, cool."
I walk back to where I was sitting and pick up my guitar. The crooner is just taking a bow. Who does that? The clapping is so minimal that I almost feel sorry for him. He was here in the hope of gaining a fan. Sucks for him that his performance is about to become instantly forgettable. A man sits down next to my table. I can tell straight away that he's not from here. Thoughts of a potential agent slip through my mind. It would be nice to have a full-time agent again. This bloke is trying to hide. He keeps his hat on, the brim covering his eyes, and doesn't take off his coat. Harrison and Liam walk past me and I follow, stepping onto the makeshift stage. We're going with a toned-down acoustic version of our songs tonight. We can't really perform like we're in a normal venue. We'd bust the windows, and I think Liam would be in the doghouse if he did that. I put my guitar down and sit at the piano. We are starting with Guaranteed Tears, which seems to be a favourite with the radio DJs these days. Liam starts singing the lyrics, and Harrison adds a soft drum beat, enough to keep the tempo of the song. Jenna stops near the stage and puts down 3 bottles of water. I watch as she walks to her newest customer. He doesn't look at her when he orders. I can't take my eyes off her or shake the sudden bad feeling I'm getting from this guy. If he's an agent, he's not watching us, and it doesn't look like he's listening. Jenna returns to his table with a tray full of drinks. She's making her rounds. She puts his glass down, but he looks up, and she screams, dropping the tray all over him, the table next to him, and the floor. Glass shatters, getting Liam's attention. The man stands up, grabbing Jenna's arm. I stand, frozen. Liam jumps off the stage, quickly followed by Harrison.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
I hear Liam shout loudly. Other customers are moving away from the scene. Some of them leave. I step off the stage and stand with my bandmates. The man looks at Liam with menacing eyes.
"Nothing," he says through gritted teeth.
"I'll be back," he says to Jenna.
He doesn't just let go of her arm. He tears his hand away, causing her to scream out in pain. She falls into Harrison's chest. Liam steps in front of the man.
"If you need someone to pick on, I'm right here, big boy."
The man sidesteps Liam and walks out of the cafe.
"We're closing," Josie shouts out to the remaining clientele. "Don't worry about your tabs. It's on the house tonight."
Caitlin and Josie usher everyone out, while Harrison holds a now crying Jenna. I feel like a total shit for not reacting sooner.
"Who was that?" I ask, no longer willing to be a spectator here.
"My ex-husband," she says through her sobs.
She's the only one breathing right now, because we are all standing here, not knowing what to say, and judging by the expressions on Josie and Caitlin's faces, the ex being here is not a good thing.
Chapter 4. Jenna.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Princess. I didn't mean to. Look at me."
He pulls up my face, his eyes full of tears as his thumb lightly caresses my cheekbone. I want to think those tears are for me, but how can I be sure? My husband, the man who vowed to love and protect me, did the unimaginable. I flinch and try to pull away, but his fingers dig into my neck.
"Forgive me,"
he whispers as his lips touch mine. I nod, fearful of my voice betraying me. I've never been hit in my life, not even when I was a child. But my husband of 3 months just backhanded me. His hand flew across my face. His knuckles crashed into my cheek as his arm extended. It's my fault, I know. I should feel lucky that he's still sitting here with me since I accidentally need him. He pulls me into his arms and onto his lap. He rocks me back and forth, holding me tighter and tighter. I wrap my arms around him, afraid to let go. I cry into his shoulder as I try to figure out what just happened. I know he didn't mean to, but that doesn't lessen the fact that it happened.
"I love you, Princess,"
he says this over and over again in between placing kisses on my face.
"You need ice. I'll go get you some."
He moves me off his lap and onto the bed. I'm scared to look at my face. I don't want to know what I look like. If the pain that I feel is substantial, I'm sure the evidence is going to be horrifying. I lie down, careful not to bump my cheek. I'm trying not to cry, but the tears come regardless. My heart is breaking. Damien returns with a bag of ice and a towel. He is gentle when he touches my face. I hiss at the pressure being applied, but know I need it, even if I don't want it. He crawls in the bed and sits behind me, cradling me to his body. He fits against me because we are made for each other. This is how I love to sleep, with his chest against my back. But right now, I want to curl up into a ball and hide away from him and everyone else. I jump slightly when I hear the door lock. Harrison has one arm wrapped around me. His body is tense, though. I can feel the strain in his muscles.
Who is that?
Jimmy asks again. I close my eyes and wait for the room to stop spinning. I knew he'd find me, but after being gone for so long, I hoped he'd stop caring. I shouldn't have stayed here for so long. That, apparently, is her ex-husband, Josie says from behind me. She puts her hand on my back, reassuring me. It's not going to work. I need to leave Beaumont. I can't stay here and let them be in danger. As I move away from Harrison, he takes my arm and guides me to the nearest chair. Everything moves slowly, in a blur. Josie and Caitlin sit down, one on each side of me. Each places a hand on my back. They hover because they don't know what else to do. Me? I just want to scream and head to the bus station with no destination in mind and start over. Liam and Harrison pull out a couple of chairs and sit down. Jimmy stands off to the side, staring. I try to offer him a smile, a weak one at that, but that doesn't change his expression. His eyes are cold. Jenna? Liam says my name so quietly that I can barely hear him over the sounds in my head. I feel like my head is submerged in water. All I can hear is Damien warning me that he'll be back in his cold, menacing voice. Everything echoes around me. I jump when the coffee machine clicks, alerting us that it's gone into sleep mode from lack of use. My hands are clammy. I'm sweating. My teeth hurt from grinding them together, the learned response before another blow comes to my face. Jenna? Liam says again. I look at him and wish I hadn't. The rage mixed with pity is the same look my father gave me the night he picked me up from my marital home. Somehow I think if I give him the okay, he'll hunt down Damien and make sure he can't bother me again. I'll have to tell him the same thing I told my dad. I can take care of it, which is a lie. I close my eyes and cry into my palms. Josie and Caitlin both hug me as I sob. I don't mean to be like this, but I can't help it. I don't want to leave them, but I have no choice. I won't put them in harm's way. They've all been so good to me, but this is the only option I have.
I didn't even know she was married, I hear Harrison say. This is bullshit, Jimmy says.
I feel the table shift.
Jenna, who the fuck was that guy?
Her ex, JD. She's already said,
Harrison answers.
Yeah, I understand that, but what the fuck just happened? He was angry and he hurt her.
Jenna, you need to tell them before Jimmy goes crazy, Josie whispers in my ear. I nod and wipe my tears. When I look up, the guys are watching me, intently. Each one of them looks confused, but also angry. I take a deep breath and close my eyes. I was married to him for 3 years. I left one night when he was on a business trip.
Why?
Liam asks. I open my eyes and look around the room. Josie and Caitlin nod, showing me that I need to tell them about my marriage. I swallow the lump in my throat. About 3 months after we got married, he hit me. It was a reaction to what I did to him, and I believed it was an accident, except he did it again a few months later. Each time he did it, he'd hold me and tend to me and promise he'd never do it again. A bottle of water appears in front of me. I don't know who put it there, but I say thanks to all of them. I take a long drink before I continue. The night before he left for this week-long business trip, he beat me. Usually it was one or two punches, but this time, he kept hitting and hitting. He said he was making sure I didn't leave him for another man while he was gone, said that no one would want me if I were bruised. I waited half the night to make sure he wasn't coming back, and I called my dad. He took me to the hospital and to the police station, but all they did was take pictures. Damien's best friend is one of the sergeants on the force, and he kept asking me who did this to me, and when I told him, he just shook his head. The next morning, my dad had all the necessary divorce papers drawn up. I signed and emptied our bank account and bought a one-way bus ticket across the country. We stopped in Beaumont, and I didn't get back on the bus. I thought I was far enough off the beaten path that he'd never find me.
Where are you from?
Jimmy asks. I sigh. Blaine, Washington. It's a small town near the Canadian border.
Come on. Let's go home, Liam says softly as he stands.
Harrison follows and comes to stand behind Caitlin. He wraps his arm around her and kisses her cheek. Josie stays with me, her hand rubbing my back. Can someone walk me home? I ask. As much as I want to say goodbye to everyone, and I think it will be best if I just leave, I want to make it home first and pack a few things.
Yeah, I'll walk you back.
All eyes turn to Jimmy, who stands there like what he just said is no big deal.
She's not going home. She's coming to our house, Liam announces.
I open my mouth to protest, but he holds his hand up.
For all we know, he's been following you around and knows where you live. We aren't taking any chances until we can get Paul to check him out.
Paul's too busy with...
With what? Doing police business? It's his job, and I know he doesn't take too kindly to men who raise their hands to women. Come on, let's go.
Josie stands and takes my hand. Lights are switched off as we walk out as a group. I try not to look around and see if Damien is standing there, watching. I know he is. I can sense him crawling around on my skin. I huddle closer to Josie, trying to hide. It will be no use, though. He's found me now. He'll find me again. I climb into the back seat, followed not by Josie, but by Jimmy. Once the car door is shut and the dome light goes off, he slides his hand into mine. I know not to think anything of this. He's just being kind, but it's nice to feel his hand in mine. It's almost like it's the reassurance I need to leave my new family behind. I lean my head on his shoulder. He doesn't tense like I thought he would. He shifts so that I'm leaning on his chest. He holds me, stroking my hair. He kisses the top of my head. But as soon as I clutch his t-shirt, he pulls away. I sit up and stare out the window, turning away from him. Someday, when he decides to settle down, I have no doubt he'll be a good husband to someone. Although, that someone will have to be at least 10 to 15 years younger to keep up with him. He won't have a problem finding someone. The women flock to him. They desire him. I rest my hand on my stomach and rub my thumb back and forth. This is the reason I need to leave. I need to protect my baby, and I know its dad won't be around, so leaving won't be a big deal. Damien can't know I'm pregnant. It will surely set him off. His face, full of rage, flashes before my eyes. He'll kill me. I know this in my heart. Jimmy reaches for my hand again, but I pull away. I don't need his sympathy. I don't want it. I was stupid to stay here for so long. It's time to leave.
Chapter 5 Jimmy. We sit around. No one's talking. Each one of us is on eggshells. Harrison is convinced we were followed. I didn't pay attention. I was too busy being selfish and wondering why it's okay for Harrison and Liam to comfort her, but I can't. I pulled away from her hesitantly when she grabbed my shirt. I freaked out. But now she's pulled away, and I'm left scratching my head. She doesn't know what that does to a man's ego. Or maybe she does. By her, I mean Jenna. I wanted to hold her hand, to let her know that I'm here. But she doesn't want that. I take one look around the room and walk to the front door. I need a break, a breather. The tension in the air is so thick a knife wouldn't be able to cut it. I get that everyone is worried, but I'm a firm believer in letting the police do their jobs. Liam called his friend as soon as we got here, and now we just wait for him to show up, or for Jenna's ex to show up, whichever happens first. I'm hoping it's the latter. I may have had my fair share of girls, but I would never hit them. That's just something you never do. This bloke needs his motherfucking ass kicked. He needs to know what it's like to get beaten up over and over again. I know I could do some damage. Harrison, too. But if Liam ever gets hold of the little twat, he'd better fear for his life. Liam may be a former high school football player, but that doesn't mean he didn't keep up his physique this whole time. He's always in the gym if he's not in the studio. Makes a guy like me look like a toothpick. Lights flash in the drive as I step outside. I sit down and wait for whoever to walk up to the front door. I swear to God, it better be their policeman friend, because if it's that loser, I'm going to knock the ever-living crap out of the bastard. The mysterious driver gets out of the car and heads towards me with his hand on his gun.
Seriously, does he think that I'm the idiot who just threatened his ex and am sitting on the step having a cigarette before I go in? Idiot. Maybe it's true what they say about small-time coppers.
What's your name?
I stub out my cigarette and hold my hand out.
Jimmy Davis, at your service. I'm not the guy you're looking for, but I'd be more than happy to help you track him down.
He shakes my hand, but keeps his other on his gun. He makes me want to roll my eyes at the stupidity.
Paul Baker. Liam called about a possible assault.
They're inside. It's a long story. I point towards the house. Officer Paul Baker leans sideways to look inside the front window. He won't be able to see anything, though. Liam is pretty strict about privacy. Come on, I'll take you in. I get up and put the cigarette butt back in my pocket so I can throw it away in the house. When I open the door, I expect their talking to stop, but it's still as quiet as it was when I came outside. Paul follows me into the living room. Liam and Harrison stand when we walk in.
Come with me, Paul, Liam says.
Harrison follows. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm an outsider, regardless of my status in the band. I don't live here. I'm not with them every day. I stand on the in-between, teetering back and forth. I want to be here for Jenna because I think she's a top lass. But shit, what the hell am I going to do? Up and leave Los Angeles because this is where my bandmates want to live? I live a life there. My mates are there. My dad and granddad are there. I look around the room and see Josie and Caitlin, but not Jenna.
Where's Jenna? I ask, for reasons I keep to myself.
She's not feeling well, so she went to lie down, Josie answers.
I look at the stairs and wonder what room she's in. Could she be in the one I use when I stay here?
She could be, especially since I told Liam I would stay in a hotel this time so he and Josie can have some privacy.
I nod and walk away. If she's not sitting down here, it's not like I can go up and see her. I could pretend that I'm tired and that I forgot I was staying somewhere else. I could go and sing to her like my mum sang to me when I was sick. I don't think she'd go for it, though. I'm pretty sure she wants nothing to do with me. It's easier this way. I find the guys sitting around the kitchen table. They're telling Paul what the dickhead looks like. I didn't get a good look. All I saw was the black hat and long coat. Christ, I thought he was an agent. Instead, he was biding his time until he could pounce on Jenna. I pull out an empty chair and sit down. I guess this is probably the best place for me to be right now. I can't offer support to Jenna without raising suspicion, and right now neither of us need that.
Did you get a good look at him? Paul asks me.
No, I didn't. I saw him sitting there before we went on. I thought he was an agent. It wasn't until I saw Jenna drop her tray that I knew something was up. But I froze. I should have beaten the crap out of him when I had the chance.
Me too, Liam adds. We didn't know there was an ex until today, or the extent of their relationship. If we had, you'd have him sitting in the back of your police car.
He has police connections too, Harrison adds.
Liam and I nod.
A friend on the force in Blaine, Washington. That's where they're from.
And you just learned all this tonight?
My wife's known for a long time.
She and Caitlin weren't shocked at all when Jenna muttered the word X.
Liam looks like he's deep in thought, and it makes me wonder if he's thinking about how long it's taken him to finally make Josie his wife. Once he got her back, he didn't shut up about her. Not that we minded, we love her. It's as if she's always been a part of this adventure.
I should probably talk to Jenna.
I'll go get her, I volunteer, probably too quickly.
Liam and Harrison look at me like I have two heads. I try to play it off.
I have to use the bathroom anyway. I excuse myself and take the steps two at a time until I'm on the landing. The door to the room that I usually stay in is closed. My steps are quiet, in case she's sleeping. I knock softly.
Come in.
I twist the handle slowly and push the door open. The bedside lamp is on, and Jenna's lying on her side, holding her stomach. I can't imagine what's going through her mind right now. Is she holding herself because the memories are so vivid?
Hey, sweet lips.
She smiles softly. I like that I can make her smile with her nickname.
I should ask why you call me that, but not tonight.
No, not tonight. Let's save that question for another time, like when you can really appreciate my answer. I sit down next to her and pull her legs onto my lap. I can be a good friend to her, maybe her best guy mate if that's what she needs. Josie says you're sick. What's wrong?
Flu,
she answers quickly. My mum used to give me tea, and then she'd sing to me.
Did it work?
God, no. My mum can't bloody sing, and I can't stand tea, so it would make me feel worse. She liked to sing, though, because it would make me smile. Want me to sing to you? Jenna curls her arm underneath her head and looks at me.
You never take the lead on stage. How come?
I shrug. It's Liam's band. I joined after he and Harrison had already signed a record deal. I just do what I'm asked. It's easier that way.
Besides, I'm more talented. I can play the guitar, piano, and harmonica. I could probably bang out a decent beat on the drums, too, if I tried. You want to sing to me?
Yeah, if it'll make you smile, I'll do it.
Okay, then. Let's hear it.
I clear my throat and try to say something, but nothing comes out. She laughs, and although that was the reaction I was going for, I didn't want it to be at my expense. Give me a minute to think of something. I act like I'm thinking. I tap my finger to my temple and think of some words I can throw together that will sound almost decent. Okay, ready? She nods. I've never felt like this before. I see our ship coming from the shore, and that horizon in your eyes is like tobacco sunburst. After we set sail, there's going to be storms. Just don't lose faith in me, 'cause I'll keep us on course. Remember this day. It's written in the stars. We're on our way to forever. Girl, it's not that far. I trail off and have to look away from her. I don't know where those words came from. They've not only shocked me, but her as well. She pulls her legs out of my lap and sits up.
Who wrote that?
I shrug. I can lie and say I've heard it on the radio, or say that my dad did it, or I can tell her the truth. My dad, I say. It's the easy way out. He used to sing it to my mum a lot, and that's why I remember it. I get up and walk to the window, looking out to survey the area. Can someone climb up to the roof to get in? Chances are, yes, he could, if he's determined, but Liam has a state-of-the-art security system in place. No one is getting into this house if he doesn't want them to. Anyway, the policeman is downstairs. I was supposed to come and tell you. I don't look at her before I leave the room. She doesn't ask me to wait for her, even though I'm not expecting her to. I open the door and head back into the hall. I walk down the stairs as quickly as I can. I need to separate myself from this situation. I just did something I've never done before, and I'd rather forget about it. I smell her perfume before I hear her coming down the stairs. I mistakenly turn to watch her walk down. The memories are there, but I fight them. I don't need a reminder. I shake my head and walk to the front door. I need the fresh air to get my mind straight. As soon as I sit down and light my cigarette, the front door opens. I know it's her. I close my eyes and will her away. I don't understand why she's hell-bent on torturing me. She sits down next to me and wraps her arms around her legs.
You shouldn't do that.
Do what?
Smoke.
I stub out my cigarette and blow my smoke away from her. If she doesn't want me smoking in front of her, I won't. Sorry, it's a bad habit.
A lot of musicians smoke, she says.
She's right. It makes our voices raspy, and the girls love that shit. You're supposed to talk to that guy in there. She looks back at the house.
He's going to ask me out. He has in the past, and I've always told him no, but I have a feeling he'll say it's for protection or something. I haven't dated anyone since...
Tell him you have a boyfriend.
But I don't.
So tell him I'm your boyfriend. I don't know where those words come from, but the look in her eyes tells me that she likes the idea. I want to take them back, but that would be an idiot move to make.
Just because you tell him we are doesn't mean we have to act like it unless he's around, I add, just to set the record straight so she doesn't get the wrong idea.